The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Meanwhile, out west, the Mavs avoid the sweep and are attempting to become the first team in NBA history to overcome a 3-0 deficit to win a series, a feat 146 others have failed to accomplish. Dallas took a step in that direction with a 119-109 win in Tuesday's Game 4 at the American Airlines Center. J.J. Redick is here. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Many believe the Celtics and Warriors are on a collision course. I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. And I'll ask you this, JJ. Which team is more likely to win multiple titles moving forward? Is it Golden State or Boston?
Well, we've talked a lot about how the Warriors' championship window here has been extended because of the development of Jordan Poole, hopefully the development of Kuminga, Moses Moody, James Wiseman, when he comes back to play. So they still have a window here to win multiple championships. But when I look at the Eastern Conference, when I look at the Boston Celtics and the core of their group, Jason Tatum is 24, Jaylen Brown is 23, Marcus Smart is 28. Both the Williams, Robert Williams and Grant Williams, under 25, Peyton Pritchard, under 25. Their core group has an extended window here just because of their age. And this is a proven group. They've been to three conference finals in the last 5 years. Now, they haven't been able to get over the hump and get to the NBA finals, but that bodes well for them. The other thing about the West, and I brought this up earlier this week, the other thing about the West is that how the Dallas Mavericks build around Luka, how the Memphis Grizzlies build around Ja, how the Denver Nuggets with a healthy roster look with Nikola Jokic. There's a lot of potential championship contenders in the West. In the East, you're looking at basically two guys who are in that prime age. It's Joel Embiid and Giannis, where the other guys, Jimmy Butler, James Harden, Kevin Durant, they're all on the other side of 30, just like the Warriors' main three guys. So I think based on a timeline of multiple championships, you got to go with the Boston Celtics here.
Well, first of all, I don't have to do anything. Secondly, I will remind you that you are sitting in that seat, J.J. Redick, that comes with a tremendous level of responsibility. Thirdly, I just want to know that seeing you two together brings a tear to my eye. It's a beautiful view. It's a beautiful view, okay?
J.J. and I have talked, okay? Stephen A. We have chatted.
Of course. I know that. Here's the deal, guys. J.J. Redick, let me get on you right now. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? You see that? I mean, these are Warriors. Last time I checked, okay, Kuminga's 19, Moody's 19, Jordan Poole is 22, going on 23 years of age, and Klay and Steph are shooters. Now, J.J. Redick, you should appreciate that. Now, I know that you know you was running around. I mean, I know you had some injuries and stuff, and you lost just a step. You know, Father Time kicked in a little bit for you. I get all of that, J.J. Redick. But that's because you were running all over the damn place, okay? You were running all over the place. It was a little tougher in the league back then. Even you had to run through some pick. You was feeling some elbows, taking some shots. Shots that I dare say that the Stephs and Clays of the world in this softer version of professional basketball do not have to subject themselves to. I'm not saying the league is soft. I'm not disrespecting. I'm just talking about the league office. When I talk about the softness of the league, I'm talking about the league office, not the actual athletes who play them. I'm simply pointing out how you can't get away with the level of physicality, at least at one point in time in your career, you had to endure. So when I take all of that into consideration and I look at Steph and Klay and the fact that I don't expect them to be anywhere anytime soon, and I see the emergence and the evolution of a Jordan Poole, and I fantasize about what Kuminga is going to be at age 19, and Moody's no scrub either, and I'm looking at some of these guys, I'm sorry, as much as I love the Boston Celtics, and as much as I believe that they've got a championship in their future, a championship or two even, I'm not going to sit up there and say their chances at multiple championships are better than those snipers in the Bay Area. I'm not going that far, my brother, and I'm shocked that a sniper such as yourself would actually go against your own brotherhood. I think they should call you out, JJ. I think they should call you out.
Believe it or not, I would love to have fun with JJ and fight him. I can't. He's 1,000% right. Stephen A's lost.
What?
The Celtics have the young. He gave you the ages. I didn't even know what the ages were. JJ gave you the ages perfectly, Stephen A. You got Harden. You can't count on him. Butler is, as you said, old. The Bucks are good. I get it. But the Nets are a mess. You have New Orleans that's going to get Williamson back. JJ brought up Murray. Who knows on Kawhi and George? They're still sitting there with the Clippers. And Dallas is probably going to get somebody to help Doncic. Curry and Thompson. Thompson's coming off two injuries. He's not quite as good. And Curry's, what is he, 32 years old? He's not going to go on forever. So J.J. is a thousand. Listen, I'd love to fight
Curry's
him right
33.
Now. But I love the 34.
I think he's 34.
I would love to fight. I can't. He's 100. Fight this guy in Miami. He's dead wrong to what he's talking about. Celtics have a much better chance to have a longer run of success than the Warriors do.
Stephen A., I want to respond to a couple things you said. And I think the point about Kuminga is really the key point here. Because you brought up some guys like Jordan Poole. I talked about Moses Moody. I talked about James Wiseman. But Kuminga's development, that's, to me, is the key. Can he develop into a Kawhi-like player? Because that was really what extended the championship window for the San Antonio Spurs, okay? The other point I want to point out, and again, I brought this up yesterday with you. When you get to this finals, and I think it will be the Warriors against whoever wins the East, when you get to this finals, you will see a level of physicality that the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics defense brings to Stephen Clay. And I hearken back to 2016, that finals appearance when they lost 3-1. Now, of course, some of that had to do with Draymond's injury, but their physicality on those two guys, that was a big difference in that series. Guys like J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, and one of the reasons they wanted Kevin Durant so bad, besides the fact that he's an amazing basketball player, was because they felt like they needed more shot creation. And I've said this about whatever the potential matchup is in the finals. I think whoever wins the East is going to give the Warriors a lot of problems, and it's going to be hard for them to score. So when we talk about an extension of this window, an extension of this championship window, you're going to need a guy like Jonathan Kuminga to develop into an all-star level player.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, first of all, you were correct. Steph Curry turned 34 in March. So you're right about that. He's 34 years of age. Clay's, I believe, is 31 or 32, or at least he's going on 32. But the other thing is you two, I mean, what the hell is going on here? Were you eating bagels and having breakfast together and then you try to collaborate against me? It's not going to work, damn it.
Yes, it's not going to work, okay?
Here's the deal, J.J. Redick. This is the thing that's perhaps even more blasphemous about what you're saying than the fact that you turned against your shooting brothers. The brothers that are snipers, you turned against them and you want to sniper yourself. You went against your own brothers.
Turn against them. I said they're capable of winning multiple championships. We're talking about an extended timeline, Stephen A.
Excuse me, age matters. Are we going to be literal? I'm not being literal, okay? I'm going to mess with J.J. Redick every chance I get, all right? Damn it. I'm going to paraphrase in the way I want to paraphrase. I said you're getting on them, okay? Number three. What conference is Giannis Antetokounmpo in? What conference is he in? So when you talk about the possibility of the Boston Celtics winning a championship, who are they going to have to go through, J.J. Redick? I brought him up.
I said the two guys in the East that are still in their primes are Giannis, who has proven he can be a champion, and Joel Embiid. Those are the two guys, when you look at the best players in the East.
Oh, my God. Prime age.
I'm not saying the other guys aren't still in their prime. I'm getting ready to have a heart attack.
Did you not bring up Kevin Durant? You didn't bring him up, Peter? Let me tell you something right now. Boston's got some obstacles. Boston's got some obstacles now.
Are you not listening to me, Stephen A? Are you selective listening right now? I'm being serious. Are you selective listening? I said Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, James Harden, all those guys in the East on the other side of 30. We're talking about multiple championships. You know what's required to win multiple championships? Years. You know who has a lot of years left in them? The Boston Celtics.
JJ, this is First Take. Of course I'm selectively listening. Of course I am. I'm not denying it. Of course I'm selectively listening, okay? That's what I do. And my point to you is this. I know you brought those guys up. I'm simply saying that you're dismissing them. I'm not saying you didn't bring them up. I'm saying ultimately you see the Celtics. And I'm saying Celtics might not be here right now if Middleton was healthy with Giannis. So I'm looking at the Golden State Warriors, and what I see, what they're doing, I see them continuing to do. Even more so when those younger players develop, because the older guys ain't going anywhere. Whereas in Boston, you got some huge obstacles. Boston, the Celtics can win it this year. They better, because it's going to be, the road's going to be tougher in the near future. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I think the Western Conference is going to be much tougher than the East, based on what JJ said with age. Plus,
please,
you're bringing back Murray, Zion,
a lot of injuries,
Kawhi, and bringing back a lot of good players.
Absolutely.
So I think right. I think it's much harder.
The hell is going on?
Speaking of the
hell
word
is going
dismiss,
on in this world?
He killed you,
JJ Redick agreeing with one another. What the
Chris
hell is this
Chris
world?
Killed
look at that,
you,
JJ and I,
murdered
brothers.
You.
Yes,
what? Sir. Is that what I just heard? Okay.
JJ, yep. I'm going to get you back on your own podcast. I'm going to get Doggy back on his show today, and I'm coming on your podcast, JJ, and I'm taking over. I'm taking over JJ Redick's podcast just because of this segment.
Is he really going on your podcast today?
Yeah, he's coming on the show in the next couple of weeks. We're just trying to figure out. He just keeps going to Miami. That's the issue right now. I can't nail him down in New York.
Can you blame him? That water does look very beautiful.
Flying back to South.
All right.
It ain't the East River. It ain't the East River behind you. I assure you of that.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Listen, it's beautiful out here. Okay. Yeah, we talked about people being dismissed. I'm saying Joel Embiid was. So the All-NBA team was announced last night, and for the second straight season, Joel Embiid finished top two for MVP, but failed to make first-team All-NBA. No one else has done that even once over the last 25 years prior to Embiid. The last player to do this was Shaq in 1994-1995, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Did Embiid get snubbed?
No, not at all. First off, I hate the games thing. Can the first team guys play 80 games? I mean, Doncic played 64 games.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis played 67 games, played 82 games.
Yeah.
And they're missing 15% of the season. That bothers me, but that's a different argument. No way. That's what's fun about all NBA teams or about all-star teams. Fighting the position, you know, have fun with JJ. Wilt and Russell were not on the same NBA first team. Mm-hmm. They played the same position, so you had to pick one or the other who had the better year. So I have no problem whatsoever in keeping, listen, we all know Embiid's great, but he's going against Jokic, who obviously won the MVP. So you're going to pick him as the, that's not an insult to Embiid. If you're going to make it so easy for the voters, just take the five best players regardless of position. You can't do that. You got two centers here, you got to pick one for the all NBA. They pick Jokic. I don't understand what the big deal is. All right, Embiid got hurt. So what? We'll live. Not the end of the world. We all know how great. He's making $100 million.
Yeah.
We'll live. But I don't have a problem with it. That's what it is for the voters. You take the two guards. You take the two forwards. Most of the time. Two guards, two forwards, and a center. Jokic made it over Embiid.
Jokic played 74 games.
I know, which I don't love either. That's a little better. He played the most out of all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis played 67 games. Jokic played 64 games. He missed 18 games in the season. Do the math. That's about 17-18% of the year. That's a lot of games to miss to be all NBA first team. That's my take.
Couple of things. Number one, I want to say this before we even move on to me responding to that gibberish Mad Dog just threw out there. Let me just say we were talking about basketball and I used the word sniper. That's inappropriate on a day like today, so I apologize for that. That was insensitive on my part. Yeah. I just got excited talking about basketball. That's my mistake, so I own that. I apologize for that. Secondly, let me get back to you, Doggy, with what you're
saying.
Yeah, go ahead. I have a vote. And in the voting, they tell me that I can vote for the front court players. They told me I didn't have to choose between Jokic and Embiid. I could actually pick both. And so guess what I did? I voted for them both as first team. Did Joel Embiid get snubbed as a first team All-NBA? Yes, he did. I believe with what he had to endure this year, with the nonsense that Ben Simmons created, with all of that stuff going on in Philadelphia, and then ultimately James Harden coming into the squad at the expense of Simmons and Seth Curry and Andre Drummond and two first-round picks, and all the stuff that he had to go through, still playing the way that he played, still having the Philadelphia 76ers be the threat that they were, we don't know what would have happened in the Miami series had Joel Embiid not hurt his thumb, A, and B, cracked a bone in his face that ultimately forced him to miss the first two games of that series against the Miami Heat. Who knows what would have happened? Because we saw what kind of impact he had the next two games that he showed up. So let's take that into consideration as well. I voted for him as my league MVP. I had an issue with him getting blown out by Brooklyn and Kyrie and Kevin Durant's visit there after the James Harden trade, okay? And I had an issue with him losing a close, hard-fought game against Jokic and the Denver Nuggets in Philadelphia, although he had better numbers that game. But I think in totality, when you look at what he put forth throughout the season, I believe if there was ever a day to make an exception about two big boys being on the first team together, it would be this one. I think Jokic and Embiid should have been first team, JJ, at the expense of Jason Tatum, who should have been second team All-NBA.
The irony of Joel Embiid having more votes, more first team votes than Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum getting in as the first team guy, when last year Jason Tatum's votes were split between Guard and Ford, and he had more total votes and points, I should say, points than Kyrie Irving. But because his votes were split, Kyrie Irving got third team all guard. That cost Jason Tatum somewhere between $30 and $35 million. So it's a little ironic, all right? Yeah. What needs to the voting system is terrible. And the idea, by the way, that
it
you
is.
Could split guys based on position, ultimately we've seen it twice in the last year where two guys got screwed because of that voting system. Let's make it very
Clay
easy.
Thompson,
let's just,
years ago.
Let's just, yes, Clay Thompson. Let's make it very easy. Let's just vote for the 15 best players. The five guys who get the most points are on the first team, then the second team, then the third team. Let's make it very easy. And by the way, need to have a third team center. We don't need to have a third team center. Why? There's so many good wings and so many good guards. And I'm sorry, like, there's years where you're literally going, I got to put this guy third team. I got to put this guy third team.
Yes.
On the games played, Chris, by the way, I think there's generally speaking, there's like a cutoff. And I don't know. It's sometimes it's 65 games, sometimes it's 68 games. You know, I look at that third team, the fact that the Miami Heat were the first team, first seed in the Eastern Conference, and they had no representation on the All-NBA team. Jimmy Butler had a great regular season. He's been even better in the playoffs. He didn't make the third team because he only played in 57 games. Now, Pascal Siakam was well-deserving. That's not a knock on Pascal Siakam. Had Jimmy Butler played 70 games, 71 games, he probably ends up in that third team slot. So I do think they take into account the games played. There's no guideline, though, for right. Is the cutoff 62? Like, I agree. There needs to be a number. Like, to be all NBA, you got to play 62 games, 64 games, whatever it may be. So there's some clarity there. I think I talked to enough. Steven, I know you have a vote. I don't have a vote. I've talked to enough voters. And the criteria on all this stuff is so up in the air. There needs to be some guidance from the league office on MVP, on most improved player. What is the criteria for most improved player and on the All-NBA stuff, especially because we negotiated to have the clause for the Supermax kick in that fourth right. year you make All-NBA. With that much money on the line, there has to be better guidelines and guidance from the league right. office.
JJ, just so you know my position, first of all, I completely agree with everything that you said. You're right on the money. You get no disagreement from me, and I love the top 15 players and just call it a day. And I abhor the fact that making that All-NBA team first, second, or third team could ultimately determine whether or not it cost you $30 to $40 million. I'm one of those guys, JJ, just so you know, Mad Dog, as well. I wouldn't blame Klay Thompson if he never spoke to the media again. That year that he was held out of being on an All-NBA team, and he lost out, and they put Kemba Walker, who was having a sensational season in Charlotte, no doubt. We cost, I voted for Klay Thompson, of course, but we've cost that man $30 million at least. We're talking about a three-time champion, one of the top five shooters in the history of basketball, who went to five straight NBA finals. And in the throes of all of that, we voted against him and cost him over $30 million. If ever there was a person that should have disdain for the media, it is that guy. No excuse for it. So I agree,
I just wanna agree with Jay.
They gotta change it.
I just want to add one thing, Stephen A., and I just want to add, you know who had a great day yesterday? Trae Young. Because he made the third team, he gets that $30 to $35 million bonus.
And just to reiterate, all the NBA first team, all 27 years old or younger for the first time since the 1950s. And I just want to say again quickly, Stephen A., you mentioned off the top, JJ and I also had a poor word choice there, and it was in a sports context, and we never, ever want to be insensitive to the tragedies that have happened. So I just want to be clear on that, and we will be much better moving forward. All right, we'll leave it there.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The NFL's investigation of Deshaun Watson is nearing the end. That according to Commissioner Roger Goodell, who spoke at the league's spring meeting in Atlanta. Watson is facing 22 civil lawsuits from women who have accused him of inappropriate sexual conduct during massage sessions. Two grand juries in Texas have declined to pursue criminal charges, and Watson has denied all wrongdoing. But that doesn't mean that the league still won't levy their own punishment. Here's an account from Ashley Solis on HBO last night. Solis is one of the women who has accused Watson. Take a listen.
He ends up exposing himself. And I hurried up and covered him with the towel. And he said, oh, you don't have to worry about the towel. And I said, yes, I do.
So then what happened?
He requested that I work on his abdomen. But the moment I went above his navel, he told me he didn't want me to work there. He wanted me to work lower. He just kept directing me to go lower and don't be scared. You can go in there. And I just started really freezing up at this point.
Can you explain that?
Like a wave just took over my body. I felt so hot. I was sweating. It was getting more and more clear that this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought the session was going to be.
Oh, so Lees had this to say about the Browns giving Deshaun Watson an NFL record $230 million guaranteed contract after trading for him. It's just like a big screw you. That's what it feels like, that we don't care. He can run and throw, and that's what we care about. Leah Graham, one of Watson's attorneys, told HBO that Watson has no regrets because he did nothing wrong. Stephen A., how do you think the NFL appears right now?
They're in a dicey situation, and it's all their fault. And let me explain. First, let's get out what we know, okay? What we know is that at least 22 different women have accused Deshaun Watson, at the very least, of inappropriate behavior. You got all, you know, sexual assault, all of these different things, okay? He's been accused. What we know is that he will face no criminal charges, no jail time. That the civil suits will keep coming, at least most of them. That they proclaim he is guilty of the accusations that have been levied against him. Deshaun Watson has claimed adamantly that he is completely innocent of all 22 charges against him. All of them. It's what he says. It's what his representatives say. That's what we know. Here's what we also know. The NFL had better watch itself. See, what we're dealing with right now is this. The National Football League, and I don't want to use the words loosely, Doggy or Molly, dragging their feet because there is an investigation that is ongoing and ultimately some ruling is going to go down. And what I'm trying to say to the National Football League, what exactly are you trying to accomplish? Because the court of law hasn't established guilt or innocence. There are civil cases coming. We don't, I mean, I guess from a monetary perspective, they're going to establish what is guilt or what is innocence, and we'll go from there. What are you trying to establish if you are the National Football League? There should only be one thing. And the one thing should be you have impugned the integrity of the league by even having yourself involved in a situation like this. The headlines, you've been paraded all over the headlines because of this. We can't prove innocence or guilt. But you're a player representing our league. You don't just represent Deshaun Watson. You don't just represent the Houston Texans or now the Cleveland Browns. You represent us. And by finding yourself in this situation, this is our punishment. That should be it. There should be nothing else. Because if you're looking for something else, you're now trying to do the job of law enforcement. And I didn't know that the NFL nor any sports league were, you know, qualified to do that. When did they get that? When did they get those qualifications? Because you got off-duty police officers, FBI agents, private investigators. Why? What qualifies you to do what our law enforcement and our justice system is supposed to be doing? The fact that the NFL wants to continue to investigate this matter implies you're trying to establish guilt or innocence. That is not the job of a sports league. That is the job of our justice system. So all the NFL should be doing is, this is our league. We don't know anything. But the fact that you have impugned the shield by involving yourself with this, and because of that, we will punish you. Anything further implies they know things we don't. And if you know it, and you're coming down with a ruling, that then gives us the right to know. Do you really want to be in that position if you are a sports league? I say no. That's where I'm at with it, doggy.
Yeah, 100%. I watched last night. Those two girls that the HBO had were tremendous, very convincing, crying on set and everything else. They brought the defense attorney, one of them, for Watson on at late 11th hour. They wanted to come on and have their opinion thought, and they try to discredit three or four of the 22. Here's the bottom line. We all know Watson did something wrong, okay? Yeah. Court of public opinion. You'd be lost if you didn't think Watson did something wrong. Incredibly inappropriate behavior. That girl crying her eyes out when she'd make this stuff up. 22 of them made him up. You want to disparage three, four of them that they reached out to Watson after this alleged scenario? All right, go ahead. Not 22. Okay? 22. It's not two people. It's 22. And the Browns deserve a lot of grief here. Haslam, that owner who's got issues with his tire company, he never did it. You know, he never even talked to any of these women. He never talked to their representation. All he wants is a quarterback. I understand Baker Mayfield hasn't won. I also understand that the Browns haven't been to a Super Bowl and they haven't done anything since 1964 when they beat the Colts. I get that, 34-0. I get all that. But the Browns should sit there and say, geez, do we want this guy representing our organization? And let's at least do an investigation that is somewhat legitimate before we go out there and give the guy $235 million. And they did not do that. That was apparent last night. The Browns can say anything they want. They did not do that. And Steve is 100% right. What is Goodell waiting for? What are you waiting for, Raj? Right, we talked to Watson. What do you mean? He embarrassed your league. There's something to this. All right? You want to give him a... He should be sitting there. He shouldn't be in training camp. The Browns knew that something was cooking here. They only gave him $1 million for this year's contract because they want to save him the money. The NFL should say, Hunter, you can't circumvent the cap that way. That's nonsense. We're suspending for 2 years. Watson should not be playing a large part of next year. I'll let everybody else decide what the suspension should be. But if anybody saw that last night, or if anybody who has seen this develop over the last 10, 12 months, whatever it might be, read the newspaper stories, Sports Illustrated did a big thing about it, watch what we saw last night, everybody knows that Watson did something that was terrible.
Something.
He did something. and he should be punished for that. And I don't know what Goodell's waiting for. Raj, nobody cares about the Pro Bowl, all right? Well, we're going to freaking think about the Pro Bowl. Nobody's interested. All right, you got a big quarterback for the Browns who's going to be in training camp in a few weeks, whatever the case may be. He should not be allowed to be there. That's what you should do.
Listen,
and you're sitting on your rear end. You
can
do
I just say one thing, Steve?
Yes,
and
sorry.
It doesn't feel like he was punished. It feels like he was awarded. Yeah. And this is where my mind goes as a woman, is I don't want this to deter other women dealing with sexual misconduct, domestic violence, abuse, to be afraid to speak out now. Because they feel that they won't be protected. They won't be believed. They won't be threatened. You're valued and you should be respected everywhere you go. You should be respected in your home. You should be respected in your workplace. You are not a second-class citizen and your voice matters. And I just applaud Kayla Hayes, I think that was her name, and Ashley Solis, for coming forward in front of the camera and standing up for all those women. And that's just my fear here. So I just want any woman at home dealing with any of these situations, please come forward. There are people that believe you and there are people that care. I promise you. Don't let this deter you.
Let me say this. They were incredibly brave. And like I use the phrase on many occasions, Doggy, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it ain't a mongoose, meaning that where there's smoke, there's fire. There's something everywhere. You got 22 different women accusing you of something. You got a problem. Ain't no damn way around that. We know that. But the question is, the question was, how does the NFL look? That was the question. And so what I'm saying is that in the United States of America, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. We know that's not applicable. We know that's not the real world because that's as it applies to the justice system, not as it applies to the court of the public opinion. So the public feels one way about Deshaun Watson based on these allegations. The court system has said something else. Now we get down to the nitty-gritty. What position should a sports league have? Because what we have is a situation where you have folks looking for corporations, for conglomerates, for people in positions of power to make decisions that the justice system either couldn't or wouldn't. So now that we have to ask ourselves that question about the National Football League, where does the trepidation comes in? I'll tell you where. There's nobody that's going to trust a league to do the right things when it comes to the people that represent their brand. Because if it compromises the brand, how can you trust them? If you sit up there and just say, hey, the hell with the justice system, you know what, Deshaun Watson, you found yourself with these allegations, and guess what? We believe you're guilty. Well, then you're going to have people asking, okay, did you do that with, you did that with Deshaun. Would you do that with somebody else? You're going to have people bringing up all of these questions. Nobody trusts the leagues. And so the league has an obligation to know that and stick to what they know. I don't have to worry about the public trusting me if all I honor is my shield. Meaning, this is the NFL. You do something to impugn our name and our integrity of this shield. This is what's coming down the pike. We don't give a damn what the justice system says. We're coming for you because this is our league. You do that, you can be trusted. When you hold off because of investigations that last 10 months, 12 months, 18 months, well, you got us looking at you saying, what the hell is going on? What's the confusion about? Why won't you make a decision? That's where the NFL is right now. And that is not a good look.
I'll tell you right now, Steve, real quick. How does Major League Baseball look? Bauer, 2 years suspension, no pay. Same deal. No criminal conviction, no judge, pass it in the police department. They found they didn't do anything. And what did Manfred do? Everybody likes to kill Manfred. What did Manfred do? 2 years.
Right.
2 years.
Right. But there
two
were
years.
Right. But it wasn't in his case. It wasn't just allegations. He went through the system and we heard all the gory details of what he had done. That's why Manfred could make that decision and nobody looks at Manfred with a raised eyebrow. Because you got Major League Baseball players that were appalled by the information they heard that came out in court.
Yeah. again, I'll just wrap it by saying this, 22 civil lawsuits. And Deshaun Watson received $230 million guaranteed, the most ever. Ashley Solis described it as a slap in the face. Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Covering a lot of ground today, fellas. That's why it's First Take. Some football. Kyler Murray won't be attending the Cardinals' voluntary OTAs this week, according to our Adam Schefter. The young quarterback still waiting for a contract extension after putting out that public statement in February. Sources say all is quiet on that front, at least for now. Christopher Russo, is Kyler skipping OTAs? Is that a big deal to you?
Yes, it is. He played horrifically down a stretch last year. He took himself out of that playoff game against the Rams when he was awful. Mind-bogglingly bad. There's a reputation that maybe he is not beloved by his teammates. And if you're Kyler Murray, who's moaning and groaning about how much money you want to make, how about showing up at OTAs and putting last year's conclusion of the season behind you and, you know, looking at it as a clean slate deal and doing your thing? Because he's always moaning and groaning about his money. Nobody wants to hear it. He hasn't earned that yet. He hasn't earned it. This is a guy that has owned one in the postseason, albeit he got hurt a couple years ago. I got a little break on that. Last year, down a stretch, he was beyond bad. And now we got Kyler Murray here, who's going to be hard to get for Arizona. Pay me or I'm going to get annoyed at you. Pipe down. When you play that poorly for that long as you did at the end of the season, and again, take yourself out of a wild card game, which you were beyond bad, and then your answer to that is, well, I want my money, and if I'm not going to get my money, I'm not going to show up at OTAs. That is indefensible stuff. So if I was Arizona, I'd make him sing for his supper. I would never pay him until he goes out there this year and puts last year behind him. It gives us a playoff win, plays great football. I have major problems with Murray. I used to like Murray an awful lot. I'm not sure how good he is right now. So if I was owning that ball club, I was the general manager, I'd say, hey, money. You're not getting your money. You'll
enough.
Get your money if you
enough
prove it.
Enough.
You're not getting
enough.
First of all,
you don't tell me what's enough and what's not enough when you're wearing my blazer, okay? You put on my blazer, you're trying to get a duplicate of my blazer. It didn't work. That's number one. Number two, you know what? If this was Christmas, I'd call you the Grinch. I swear to you, and I usually embrace that title myself, but I don't know about you today, doggy. I just don't know about you. First, you're singing Kumbaya with J.J. Redick back there while you're eating your bagels, and now here you are on TV going off about Kyler Murray. I'm sorry, did you have a problem with Cliff Kingsbury getting his extension? Because that's where I'm going. If this man deserves an extension, why doesn't Kyler Murray? Excuse me, he was brought there specifically to nurture and help Kyler Murray grow. He's the quarterback guru. He's the one that ingratiated himself with these young quarterbacks and established himself as that, right? What did Cliff Kingsbury do to get a head NFL head coaching job? Not a damn thing. When he was at Texas Tech, he didn't win anything. Okay, he was out of the postseason four years out of the six, but he got a head coaching job. He bypassed a whole bunch of dudes, blacks, whites, Hispanics, everybody. He bypassed a whole bunch of people, didn't do anything to deserve a head coaching job in the NFL. Not only does he get a job, but he gets an extension. But when it's time for Kyler Murray to get his money, his bag, we gonna sit up here and say, oh no, I don't wanna hear it. Don't tell me about the money. The hell with that. Have you seen Kyler Murray Kingsbury's crib? No, you haven't. Have you seen the car he drives? No. But we've seen Cliff Kingsbury. You see that fabulous pad that man was rocking during the NFL draft last year? Remember that, doggy? When everybody home with COVID and we just lamenting the state of affairs that's going on in this world, you looked at his crib. Guess what? He didn't have to go outside. His house was practically outside. It probably had a retractable roof or something on it, for crying out loud. He's living large. But the quarterback who's helped improve the team every year with his questionable coaching, to say the least, is supposed to be robbed of the opportunity to get his bag, but the person that he helps ends up getting paid and he doesn't? Come on, doggy. You can't be like that. If he doesn't get paid, Kingsbury should have got paid. But since Kingsbury got paid, he should get paid.
Two wrongs don't make a right. You're right. He's not Weeb Eubank. There's no way they should have given him that extension. You're 1,000% correct. No argument. Oh. But Murray doesn't deserve this. He hasn't earned it.
All right, Stephen A., if you lived in Arizona, you'd have a palace too, okay? I just want to let you know it's a little different than LA and New York. So I just want to put that out there. Real estate's a little different there.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Game 5 tonight, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. Series tied 2-2. Christopher Mad Dog Russo. How much does home court advantage matter for this Miami Heat?
Doesn't matter at all. Remember, don't forget game six against San Antonio about 6-7 years ago, late in the game, those fans bouncing out, getting out of there because they were losing.
Yeah.
Rats off a sinking ship. That is the absolute worst sports town in America. I have no problem saying it. The only thing they somewhat care about are the Dolphins. The Marlins have never done a thing. There's 17,000 fans who care about the Florida Panthers. There is not a lot of juice for the Heat. That is not an intimidating pit. San Francisco with the Warriors, that's a home court advantage. This is not. Stephen A. can talk about, and I love the city too. You have Biscayne. I like that hotel there on Biscayne Boulevard. I love Cranston Park. I love South Beach. I love it. Palm trees. I'd go there in a minute. But as far as sports and passion and sold out arenas with life, with some juice, not a chance. It's one of the worst home court arenas in the NBA. How's that?
Well, what I would say to you, doggy,
is
you need to get out here a little bit more. I mean, I would tell you, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, the Miami Heat were 29-12 at home this year. I mean, that's important to point out. Okay, their players play better when they're here. I don't know why. They seem inspired. I would ask that you, I mean, they even got a club in the arena, Joggy. I mean, a lot of times you don't see the fans there. They in the club, you know. Now, they come in the second half when it really, really counts. All I can tell you, doggy, is I understand, you know, the rah-rah and the fans and the screaming and the noise. And I get it. I understand, doggy. But it's a different flavor in Miami. And I would tell you that, you know, they're worse places to be.
I'm not going to lie. I'm jealous, Stephen A. It's one of my favorites ever. Doggy, I'd be going to get some sun and some Cuban food right now.
Check this out, Molly. Doggy, Miami's so fly, you'd get a tan being inside.
I love you.
We'll be right back. This is First Take. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Good day. Welcome back to First Take. We tackled a lot of important issues today. Grateful to have the platform here at ESPN, and we are not done yet. 2 years after George Floyd's murder on May 25th, 2020, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was convicted and sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison. Floyd's family reached a $27 million settlement with Minneapolis, and corporate America made a $50 billion promise. But as the country's seen any racial justice advancements, and what do we in the sports leagues that we love owe George Floyd since his passing? Here's special ESPN correspondent Angela Rye with more.
$20 exchanged at Cup Foods at 8:01 p.m. in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Seven. It took 7 minutes for police officers to arrive. Three. That's how many more minutes passed before disgraced officer Derek Chauvin arrived. 20. The number of times he said, "I can't breathe."
Please, please let me stand.
No,
please, man, I can't breathe.
It was reminiscent of the helpless pleas we heard in the 2014 killing of Eric Garner.
I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
17, it's the number of complaints Derek Chauvin had against him before killing this man. 9 minutes and 29 seconds later, he took his last breath. 25. That was the day in May of 2020 when this man, whose name we have all heard by now, George Floyd, was murdered by Derek Chauvin as three other officers watched.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter!
It became the 9 minutes and 29 seconds seen around the world, uncovering the police violence and brutality that is most often acknowledged and accepted in the Black community, but generally ignored by so many others. This time was different. There was no justification, and there was no way for the world to turn a blind eye. Unlike too many other instances, these officers were charged and convicted, and we learned more about George Floyd's death than we ever knew about his life. So on the second anniversary of his death, I want us to know more about the man who became a martyr, and he didn't even choose that destiny. Born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, on October 14, 1973, George moved to Houston, Texas when he was two and grew up in the Trey, Houston's third ward. A star basketball and football player in high school, George Floyd received a basketball scholarship to play at South Florida Community College and later a football scholarship at Texas A&M Kingsville. A tale familiar to many of us, sports for George intersected with hip hop. He was known as Big Floyd to some in Houston because he also made regular appearances on DJ Screw's mixtapes in the 90s. As we all watched the chilling video of George's death on Memorial Day 2020, the outcry of injustice was loud. It was swift. It was international. It was longer lasting than what we are accustomed to seeing. And it was economic. $50 billion was the amount committed by America's largest corporations for racial justice efforts. But 2 years after these pledges, what do racial justice efforts have to show for the investment? Those efforts were in large part because of the activism and leadership of the players, with WNBA players leading the way, some even sitting out the 2020 season to focus on social justice efforts. While there is a lot left for corporations and sports leagues to do, including making annual commitments to fight racial injustice, oppression, and white supremacy that too often ends in death, one thing is clear: we would not be here without the traumatic killing of George Floyd. His sacrifice, losing his life, means Black Lives Matter is no longer an argument. It is a goal to reach and a statement of fact.
That changed the world.
That changed the world.
For the Gianna Floyds all over the globe, many who we cannot name, let's ensure that her observation from 2020 remains our truth forever. Because his living was not in vain, we must ensure his death was not either.
Oh my God, Stephen A., it's so hard to see that video of Gianna Floyd, little 8-year-old. She deserves to hug her father tonight. I just want to say, excellent job by Angela Rye. She mentioned the WNBA. She sat down with Brittany Griner's wife. She's going to be on our show live tomorrow, so can't wait to hear about that and address that issue as well, which we haven't even gotten into. It's a travesty in itself. She's still not back home. Stephen A., very heavy show. 2 years later, just what do you want to mention about the murder of George Floyd?
We need to remember why the protest and the social unrest that existed and took place in this country 2 years ago, why it was such. Unfortunately, as unfortunate as it was, rather, that George Floyd was murdered, and obviously four officers, that's not the unfortunate part. They were made to pay for their crimes, all convicted. The reality is that the social unrest that existed in this country wasn't just because of George Floyd's killing. It was because of the discrepancies, the flagrant inequities and unfairness that have been displayed and exercised in this nation, and that you had a community rife with Black folks and other minorities sick and tired of this country being as unfair as it has been to so many. And the lesson to peel from that is that if we are as God-fearing and as God-loving as we claim to be as a nation, if we do care about our common man and woman as we claim, if we do care about our brothers and sisters and about this nation the way that we say that we do, then we will strive to uphold everything we claim this country swears to uphold. Be fair-minded. Think about treating others as you would treat yourself. Think about the next person when you treat them a certain way and ask yourself, would you approve of yourself being treated that way? Because in the end, if we're all about fairness,
yeah,
and we act accordingly, the problems that we point to would be very much limited.
Three simple words: love your neighbor.